Well, good morning, River Church. My name is Darren Bowie. I am one of the pastors here, and I'm so grateful to be able to share God's word with you today. And if you're visiting for the very first time, as we always say, welcome to the family. We are just so thankful you chose the River Church as a place of worship today. So as a church, Pastor Mike has been walking us through the book of Luke for over a year now. And we're going to pick up back in the book of Luke next week when he returns. So today, we're going to take a little bit of a detour from Luke, and we're going to talk about growing in your walk with Christ. In particular, growing through transparency. So my teaching objective today, what we're going to do is we're going to define transparency. We hear that term a lot, transparency. What exactly does that mean? Secondly, how do we grow through transparency? Third, how others can grow through transparency and be led to Christ. And last, what are God's expectations of our transparency? And our prayer is, as always, that you walk out of here different than the way you came in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time of gathering today. We just pray that you are present with us, Father. We pray that we're not just hearers of your word, Father, but doers, putting into practice what we hear from you today. Father, challenge us and change us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I said, we hear this term transparency a lot, and we hear it in the business world where we'll hear businesses say they're going to be transparent with to their stockholders and their customers about their business practices. We hear it in politics a lot, where an administration will say they're going to be transparent with their policies and their motives. But we also hear it in Christian circles quite a bit, where a church pastor or a leader will say, we're going to be transparent with the congregation. So when we hear that from such a wide range of groups, what exactly does that mean to be transparent? Well, transparency is defined as feelings, motives, and emotions voluntarily disclosed and clearly seen by others. Again, feelings, motives, and emotions voluntarily disclosed and clearly seen by others. And the emphasis here is on voluntarily. So how do we grow in our walk with Christ through transparency? In other words, how do we grow in our walk by voluntarily disclosing our feelings, our motives, and our emotions, which are clearly seen by others? If you have your Bibles, turn to James 5:16. James 5:16. And the Word of God reads, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effect. James 5:16 is about being transparent with one another, voluntarily displaying and sharing our feelings, our motives, and our emotions. In this case, our sins with one another, voluntarily sharing where you've fallen short with one another. So how can we be transparent with certain people? We can't be transparent with anybody and everybody. Because the end of that scripture says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effects. The prayer of the person I'm being transparent with should be in right standing with God. And their prayer is powerful and effective to help me through that fall. Just because they attend church doesn't mean they're in right standing with God. Or maybe they attend two services or three services does not put them in right standing with God. Maybe they're part of 16 community groups. That does not put them in right standing with God. So we just can't be transparent with our confession with anybody and everybody, because I can share my heart with someone not faithfully serving God, and as soon as I get off the phone with that person, Facebook post, tweet, email, did you hear about Pastor Darren? Group text, man, Pastor Darren's jacked up. And somebody will create a crying meme of me or a TikTok video. Someone will create a Pastor Darren TikTok dance. So we have to be careful that the person we're being transparent with and allowing to pour into us and pray for us has a true covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Married couples, that could be your spouse, someone I can pour my heart out to knowing that he or she is not going to share this with anyone else but the Lord in prayer. For others, it could be a trusted brother or sister in Christ, or a community group leader or a pastor. Those who are trusted and faithful and in right standing with God. Just before moving to Fort Worth almost 2 years ago, I had a disagreement with a long-term friend. But this disagreement went from agreeing to disagree to just flat-out disrespect. And I've known this individual since ninth grade in high school. We attended each other's life events, college graduations, Bible college graduations, birthdays. I was actually his best man in his wedding. I actually led him to Christ. And that relationship was severed, and it hurt. And for a year and a half, there was no communication. But the things that were said in that conversation continued to ring in my head because it was just that painful. And I played that conversation over and over and over again in my head. Now, I say conversation, but it really wasn't a conversation because it was really one-sided. It was him doing all the talking because I was basically in shock. I couldn't believe these things were coming out of my best friend's mouth. So I basically listened to a monologue for 45 minutes straight. And for 18 months, I played those words that were spoken to me over and over again in my head. And as time went on, I got angrier and angrier. Not only angry with him, but I was also angry at myself. Because you know when you get into a disagreement with someone and then you think back to that conversation, you're thinking about, man, I should have said this. Or when he said this, I should have said that. That's what I was fighting. I was getting angry and angry. And over time, that anger started to turn into bitterness. And little things would trigger that emotion that I felt. And I would get more and more angry and more bitter. And there would be times where I would kind of drift off. I'd be sitting with Mercedes, and I'd kind of drift off for a moment. And she'd look at me like, you're thinking about it again, aren't you? So I decided, you know what? I really need to address this. Because this anger was getting worse and worse, and this bitterness was getting worse and worse. So I decided I'm going to write him an email. So I laid out my heart, and I laid out my frustrations, and addressed many things that were said in that initial conversation that we had. Things I'd never had a chance, I didn't have a chance to respond to when I initially spoke to him. So I wrote an email really laying out my feelings. The email had a lot of emotion in it, had a lot of hurt in it. But before I sent the email, I reached out to Pastor Mike, and I wanted his thoughts because even in my pain and my anger and my frustration, I still wanted to be Christ-like in my response. So I called Pastor Mike and kind of gave him the backstory, and then I shared with him the email that I was planning on sending, and I wanted his thoughts and his recommendations before I sent it. And Pastor Mike began to pour into me. And he gave me some godly advice, some godly wisdom on how to respond. And he looked over the email and said, maybe you should be a little bit softer right here. Other areas, he said, maybe you should elaborate here more so he really understands the pain that that caused you. So I implemented and changed some things in the email based on Pastor Mike's recommendations. And to be honest, there were some things he said that I really did not want to put in there. But because of my own pride, really what it was. But he was right, so I put those changes in. So opening up to Pastor Mike and sharing something so personal and so hurtful is not something I would do with just anybody and everyone. But I knew if I was in error, I would get some godly advice from a man of God, a righteous man, a man in right standing with God. And that's what he did, and I responded based on what he shared with me. Now, I'm not on social media, so I don't know if Pastor Mike created a TikTok dance that went viral. I don't know. But my transparency with him allowed me to grow and be healed, and I no longer harbor that bitterness and that anger that I had for almost 2 years. And that healing and that growth was able to take place because I was able to be transparent with a godly brother who was in right standing with God. Secondly, being transparent is not only an opportunity for you to grow, but it's also an opportunity for others to grow and in some cases be led to Christ. Go with me to 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16. And verse 12 says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, appointing me to ministry. And this is Paul talking. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Some translations say I am the chief sinner. Verse 16, but I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. So Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's being transparent with him. Transparent about the man that he used to be. He says, I was a blasphemer. I was an arrogant man. I was a persecutor of Christians. I used to murder people like you. And he's sharing with Timothy that despite all that he's done, God has showed him mercy and transformed his life. And he continued by saying, what God did in his life is available to anyone who believes in Christ. And Christ will get the glory in the end. As a Christian, when it comes to being transparent about what Christ has done in our lives, we should get no glory out of it whatsoever. Many times when we're sharing what Christ has done in our lives and the transformation that has taken place in our lives, we kind of run down the things that we used to be. I used to be a gangbanger. I used to be a gossiper, an addict. And many times we just kind of leave it at that, as if we had something to do with that transformation. I worked hard. I pulled myself up from my bootstraps. I did this and I did that. The key to growing through transparency is recognizing that I had absolutely nothing to do with that transformation. I'm sharing this with you that I'm changed, not because of my own strength, not because of my own abilities, but I am a new man or a new woman in Christ because of Christ alone. And it's only by his grace that I can share this with you. That's what true transparency is. And verses 15 and 16 is showing us what the impact of true transparency does. Verse 15 says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Verse 16, but I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul's transparency with Timothy, he's saying, hey, I'm okay with sharing my testimony with you of God's grace and patience towards me, because the same grace that he showed me, the chief sinner, is available to anyone who believes. And 2,000 years later, Paul's transparency is still impacting the world for Christ today. And so like Paul, when we're running down the list of things that we used to do, the dirt that we used to do, true transparency, God will get the glory and others will come to him because of it. Just imagine what your transparency can do in your circles, in your sphere, how others can grow and come to Christ. We are currently in week three of our deeper track, and deeper is our membership track here at the River. And in the first two sessions, I had two amazing women in my class. I had Ashley and Bianca in my class. And Bianca, if you're listening, because I don't see you here, if you're listening online, forgive me in advance, because I'm probably going to call you Beyonce at least twice. So again, I had Ashley and Bianca in our current deeper session. And at the beginning of the deeper session, I always love to hear how stories of how people came to the River Church. And it's usually prefaced by how they came to the Lord. So they shared with me their story, and it lines up perfectly with this passage of Scripture. And they gave me permission to share this story. So just kind of a little background of the both of them. Ashley is one of several awesome tattoo artists we have in our church. And if any of you have ever met Ashley, she is the sweetest, kindest soul you will ever encounter. And she's also the most even-keeled person you'll ever meet as well. Put it this way, if a I was on a plane that was going down, I would want her to be my pilot. She's the pilot that would come sit next to you and say, okay, the plane is going to go down. I'm 99.9% sure that none of us are going to survive, but I'm going to sit right here with you and sit with you through it. That's Ashley. But because she is so calm and so sincere, I would be at such peace, I would grab one of those in-flight magazines and order a massager. Because with Ashley as my pilot, I still have a 0.1% chance that I may survive, and I'm going to need a massage after that crash. That's Ashley. Then there's Bianca. And let me describe Bianca using kind of the same airplane analogy. Bianca is the person in the aisles like, oh my gosh, this plane is going to go down. But do you have your seatbelt on? And do you know Jesus? That's Bianca. So there's a freak out and then there's a check-in. Are you good? Do you know anything? Do you need anything? Do you know Jesus? That's Bianca. So that's a little bit of a background or a visual of the two of them. So here's their story, tying it back to Paul and his transparency with Timothy and how God can get the glory and that transparency can lead others to Christ. So they shared with me, Ashley was working in her shop one Friday night, and Bianca came in well after midnight on that Friday night, that Saturday morning, wanting a piercing. And to put it nicely, Bianca was a little toasty. If she was a piece of bread, she was toasted on both sides. And if you're not clear what I'm talking about, she had a few adult beverages that night. And she wandered in for a piercing. And on a personal level, Bianca was going through it. She was having a really tough time that night. And you know, when you're going through something for an extended period of time, you have those highs and you have those lows. And that particular night was a low for Bianca. So she came into the shop looking for a piercing, and she started talking to Ashley and sharing what she was going through. And she was being transparent with Ashley about her life and her choices she had made. And Ashley, that calming pilot, walked her through that low moment that she was in and walked her off the ledge, so to speak. And Ashley gave her phone number, and she said, hey, if you need anything, call me. So later on that morning, Bianca called Ashley, and she was just blown away that someone 30 years younger than her had so much wisdom and so much insight. And because of Bianca's transparency with Ashley, she made it through that tough moment that she was in. And she just called just to say thank you. And they continued talking on the phone, and then Ashley began to be transparent with Bianca about her faith. And Ashley was truly searching and was looking at different religions, reading different books, and she was just searching for a God. And using that airplane analogy for Bianca, oh, I might be going through something right now, but do you know Jesus? Let me share with you the true and the living God. And Bianca began sharing the gospel with Ashley. And because of Ashley's transparency with Bianca, Ashley is serving Jesus faithfully today. Ashley was baptized here at the river last year and faithfully attends Bible study Monday nights, every Monday. And she left the state for a period of time and wasn't able to go through the deeper track when she was here. When she returned, she came right back to the River Church, went right back to that community group. And as soon as the deeper track semester rolled around, she came to deeper, and she's actually finishing it up today. And Bianca already went through deeper with me several months ago, but guess who was sitting through that class with her again? Bianca, just supporting her friend. So Bianca's transparency with Ashley helped her through a tough moment in her life. Ashley's transparency with Bianca led her to eternal life in receiving Christ. And like Paul in this passage of scripture to Timothy, being transparent with one another, God gets the glory and others will come to him because of it. And one thing that Bianca said to Ashley that really stuck with me, and it's something that we should always remember when we're sharing the gospel with someone, she told Bianca, oh, I'm gonna start crying. She told Bianca, I do not want to spend eternity without you next to me. What a beautiful statement and such a beautiful testimony of how transparency can impact your life My last point here is God's expectation of us is to be transparent with him. 1 John 1, 8 through 9. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word here is telling us that we're all going to fall short sometimes. And if we say we're not, we're lying to ourselves and we're deceiving ourselves. But the good news is in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, in other words, if we're transparent with God, voluntarily sharing with God where we've fallen short. And keep in mind, we're not catching God off guard here. He's not like, you did what? Oh my gosh. Or, oh my me. He wouldn't say, oh my God. Yeah. I'll give you a moment. It'll catch up to you. But actually, he wants us to be transparent with him. And if that in that transparency, there is forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to put us back in right standing with him. Now, you might not have an Ashley or a Bianca in your life, or that person you feel comfortable being transparent with. Maybe you're new to community groups, and you haven't built that relationship yet to be transparent. Maybe you're new to the church, and you don't know all the pastors yet who can pour into you, and that's okay. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And that friend is Jesus. There is no time like the present to be transparent with him, voluntarily placing everything at the feet of Christ. As the band comes out, let's not miss this opportunity to be transparent with him. Your freedom is in that transparency. Your healing is in that transparency. Your answered prayer could be in that transparency with God. Your salvation and recognizing a need for a Savior is in that transparency with God. Let's pray. Stand with me. Father, we are grateful that we can come boldly before you and be transparent with you, voluntarily confessing our sins before you. And you said when we do, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us and place us in right standing with you. Let us put aside our pride and recognize a need for a Savior. The day is going to come when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that you are Lord. Father, we confess that you are Lord today.